Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad to have you with us this morning. A special welcome for our visitors and guests. We're glad you're here, family visiting from out of town. We hope you feel welcome. If you're new to our church, I'd encourage you to look in the seat rack in front of you. We have Let's Get Acquainted cards there. If you have any questions about our church or would like to give us the chance to know you better, please feel free to fill one out and place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. Members and visitors alike, I'd encourage to sign the friendship pads, which are scattered throughout the sanctuary. You can sign them and pass them to your neighbors so you can greet any new faces by name during the piece or after worship. At this time, I draw your attention to our calendar of events near the back of the bulletin and our announcements on the inside front cover. I would open it up to you at this point, any of you who have announcements to share with the church this morning. Yes.
I admit that I was just talking in the back, so I did not actually hear your announcement. So this has been said in the past 2 minutes. I'm sorry. But we are having our annual child safety training and children's church training next Sunday after worship or September 24th after worship. And this is for anyone who's interested in helping with children's ministry. If you've already been trained in this, we have an annual review of these things. But we welcome new volunteers to come to that meeting. The only qualification is you have to love children, and you do have to be a member of the congregation for a year before you can officially volunteer with these things. But these trainings only happen once a year. So even if you haven't hit your one-year mark of membership, we invite you to come and be trained, and then we'll get you connected with that.
Thank you. And now, yes. Thanks, and now. We'll look forward to seeing everyone on Wednesday night. Are there others? I have two brief announcements before we begin worship. One is the office will be closed tomorrow, so there will be no morning prayers or Bible study, but we will look forward to resuming those next Monday. And second, you might hear a little bit more about this during the offering. Our church is collecting a special offering for hurricane and disaster relief in the Houston area. Those offerings will go through the church to Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, which is a secondary responder. They come in after the waters have gone down to help with rebuilding efforts. So if you'd like to find out more, please speak with me after worship. You can use our online giving function and just note that it is for hurricane relief or Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. The acronym is PDA. Or you can write any of those things in the memo line of your check. If you make out the check to First Presbyterian Church, we will be sure that that gets to the appropriate place. So we thank you for your gifts and for your presence with us as we worship God this morning. So with great joy, let us celebrate all that we have received and let us worship God. And let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful.
The Lord protects His temple. When I was brought low, God saved me.
What shall we return to the Lord for all the good things God has done for us?
We will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord.
And let us pray. As you cause the sun to rise, O God, bring the light of Christ to dawn in our souls and dispel all darkness. Give us grace to reflect Christ's glory, and let His love show in our deeds, His peace shine in our words, and His healing in our touch, that all may give Him praise, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Now praying together. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength. Through Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. We've got a couple more friends coming. Hello, good morning. In a little bit, we're going to hear another story about Moses. Do you remember Moses from last week? He got put in a basket and floated down the water on the Nile, and someone picked him up. So what happened after that? Do you know what happened to Moses? He grew up. He got bigger. Aren't you getting bigger? Yeah, he got bigger just like you, and he grew up, and one day he became a shepherd. Now, what does a shepherd do? What kind of animal does a shepherd take care of?
Sheep.
That's right, takes care of sheep. So one day he was out in the fields taking care of sheep, and he saw something interesting. What do you think he saw? You know this story? He saw some fire. That would be kind of startling, wouldn't it, if all of a sudden you were walking through the woods and you saw some fire? What would you do? You would run away. That's probably a smart thing. That's not what Moses did. He was very curious. He saw a fire, and it was actually in a bush, just like a bush that you have in your yard. And it was on fire, but it wasn't being burned up. There was something special about this fire. What do you think it was? It was an angel. And all of a sudden, Moses heard his voice coming out from the bush, and he knew that he was in the presence of God, because God can take very ordinary things that we see every day, just like a bush, and make it come alive and make us see it in a wholly different way. And that's actually something that we do every so often here at church. We find ordinary things, and all of a sudden they become special because they have God's presence with them. Can you think of anything in this room that's like that? That it's just something ordinary you might find every day, but God makes it special and we use it here. What about over there? What's over there on the table? Communion. You want to come with me? You want to come see? We're going to do this later. We're going to have a meal together. Don't touch, but you can look at it. What is that?
Bread.
What's that? It's just regular bread. There's nothing special about it. I'm going to be careful with this one because I spilled it last time. What's that? It's just juice. It's kind of like wine. And there's nothing special about them. Okay, we can come back over here. Here, come sit with me. We're almost done. There's nothing special about them right now, but in a little bit, we're going to share that bread and we're going to share that juice and we're going to say that through those things, God is with us. And so they become special, just like that burning bush, because God is there. So there's one more thing I want you to remember today. Can you think of anything else here in this church that we see every day that's kind of ordinary maybe, but God makes it special? Well, it could be anything. That's a good guess. I think each one of us is special too because God is with us. So if you remember anything from the story of Moses, if you remember anything from the meal we share in a little bit, I hope you remember that God makes it special just like you. Will you have a prayer with me? You can repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you for your many gifts, and for feeding us. Make us grateful and remind us that we're special. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So thank you for your help telling the story, and I look forward to seeing you in communion in a little bit. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them, saying, God be with you there. And God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans. Listen for God's word. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 3. We continue with the story of Moses. We heard about his miraculous escape in his infancy last week. Now he has grown up and fled Egypt under threat from Pharaoh. and he keeps his father-in-law's sheep in the land of Midian. From the book of Exodus, chapter 3, listen for God's word to you. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, "I will be with you. And this shall be the sign that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, through most of our week, we ask for guidance and help and direction. But here we ask for something more. Speak to us. Be with us in your word. Be with us in your spirit. Walk beside us in the ways of life so that we might find our way to you. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Be yourself. Find yourself. Express yourself. Defend yourself. Assert yourself. Apply yourself. Exert yourself. Applaud yourself. Enjoy yourself. Be self-possessed, self-assured, self-confident. Self-promote. Self-brand. Know thyself. And this, above all, to thine own self be true. Variations on a theme that runs the gamut from cliche to conventional wisdom, from Socrates to Shakespeare to marketing consultants. And the effect of this cumulative advice is the same. You have a self, and living a truly happy and content and meaningful life rests in no small part on your ability to know and grow and promote yourself. And it's not all wrong either. You won't get far in your working life if you don't apply yourself. You won't get far in your personal life unless you're basically self-aware. You won't even get that far in the spiritual life without self-knowledge, knowledge of the ways that we have fallen short, knowledge of the ways that God is working to change us. And the danger in this kind of thinking is obvious, though. The assumption is that if you grow a big or strong or powerful enough self, you are capable of making your way in the world and you can summit insurmountable problems. And truly, this is not the case. Inevitably, we find that there's part of our life that stops us in our tracks. It could be something dramatic, loss of a job, loss of a loved one, the diagnosis of a terrible illness. Sometimes you need more than a strong self to push through those kinds of tragedies. And there are other obstacles in life, too, that are subtler but no less difficult. It is kind of an obvious thing to say that an illness or a loss affects your life, alters it in a major way. It's nothing to say of people who are not as fortunate as us, who face challenges like war and violence and systematic injustice and floodwater. But we have other obstacles too. Obstacles like how to live in the world with meaning and purpose. How to discover something worth living for. How to find purpose and meaning, not in those major challenges of life, but in the everyday living of it. Going to school, going to work, nurturing relationships, doing all the regular, mundane, attendant tasks with all these things. Because at first blush, it's easy to find purpose in our work. If you go to school, you want to grow up and be successful, and there's even a theological reason to care about school. It might have been helpful to know when we were younger, which is it's part of the way God is shaping you into the person you're meant to be and developing your gifts. But at the same time, it's easy to lose sight of this kind of thing over the course of a long school day with test prep and homework and grades. It's easy to find purpose at work. You've got to put food on the table and pay the bills. But there's even another theological reason to care about work. God has put you in the world for a purpose. Your life has a calling, and it's to use your gifts and your talents to witness to God's coming kingdom. And you can do this as a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, an accountant, a business person, a retail clerk, anything at all. It's just easy to lose sight of that sometimes in long days and assignments and money worries and employee reviews. And then you retire and you wonder what's next. And it can be challenging to find purpose or yourself without those tasks, which have become such an important part of your life. Sometimes relationships help fill that void. It's easy to find purpose in relationships. Relationships are intrinsically valuable. They're what we were created for in the first place. We are made to love each other. God made us to love each other. That's the theological reason. But it's easy to lose sight of that kind of thing in the mundane work of maintaining a relationship. Marriages are about paying the bills and doing dishes as much as they are about romantic love. Parenting is as much about homework help and full-time chauffeuring as it is the unconditional parental love that reflects the love God has for us. Even friendships have a lot to do with the investment of time and energy as they do becoming, like David and Jonathan, souls knit into one. Finding yourself, becoming yourself, being yourself, means living with these everyday realities as much as it does conquering obstacles. Life has to do with valleys and not just mountaintops. So I think sometimes we focus enough on these dramatic moments in our lives and Scripture that we get the mistaken apprehension that Scripture and God have to do with these high points of life and faith, but not so much the everyday. Not so much this middle ground. We imagine heroes of faith like Samson and David and Esther and Mary, and we see how they work through great drama and action to find presence of God and mystery and meaning. Samson and David are heroes of the Old Testament who fight literal battles to protect the people of God. Esther uses political cunning to do the same. Mary bears God into the world and is so close to the holy that she can reach out every day and touch him. And stories like these suggest that the animating life of faith has to do with drama and struggle, of obstacles and challenges that we use and we tackle to find meaning and purpose in life. And this is exactly why call stories are important, like the story of Moses. The life of faith doesn't just have to do with drama and struggle, with battles and ecstasy and direct encounter with God. Much of what we have to do in our lives is noticing the holy, even in everyday places. We just don't always have the eyes to see it. It's a common bush lit up with the fire of heaven. It's a common life alive with God's purpose. Most of the time, God calls people out of the ordinary places of their lives. Samuel and Jeremiah don't expect it. They're young, but God doesn't care. He uses them anyway to announce challenging words to Israel. God calls Abraham and Sarah in their old age to bear children and a future for the people of God. You were never too young for God to transform your life. You were never too old either. Just remember that when the nominating committee calls. Sometimes what gets left out is everything in between. Every call in the Bible is met with some kind of resistance, but no one uses the great excuse, which is, I'm just too middle-aged for this. I'm too set in my ways. My life is too ordinary. I'm not looking for any big changes right now. The closest we get to this kind of hesitancy is Moses. Moses is the prophet for the middle-aged. Moses shows that God can make your life, yourself, alive with purpose at any point along the way. And this is exactly what it looks like. Moses doesn't have a lot of choice about how he spends his life. He's born to a Hebrew mother, so he's under threat from a fearful ruler who wants to kill all the young Hebrew boys. So his mother puts him in a basket and floats him down the Nile at the mercy of the waters. And as luck would have it, maybe as God would have it, Pharaoh's daughter draws him out of the waters and cares for Moses. He grows up a prince in the court of Egypt, and at no point in his life did Moses choose who he was. The external forces of parents and politics drove him to where he was meant to be. So at the interim between last week's story and today's, Moses has realized his origin. He's grown up as knowing that he is a Hebrew slave, and he's protected another slave from a violent beating and had to run from the authorities for killing an Egyptian. This is why we find him in the land of Midian. He might not have expected to be there, but it's been okay. He's found a job. He's found a family. He's married with children and has risen high enough in the family tree that he's responsible for the flock, his family's livelihood. In truth, Moses is like the ancient world equivalent of a middle manager. He has a house and two kids. He's an important part of his community. He's left the troubles of his youth behind him. He has probably a pretty healthy 401k. The outward signs show that Moses has it all together. His life is normal, maybe too normal. Because we find him wandering today. He's beyond the wilderness. That's what the story says. He wants something more. Maybe he was just looking for better grazing land for his flock. Maybe he was just looking for a break from young children. Maybe he was just looking for something different in the midst of the normalcy of his life. Somehow he is drawn to a holy place, to God's own mountain. He sees an unusual sight. It's a bush alive with fire, but it's not burned up. And the story repeats the detail to draw our attention. Something here is special. All of a sudden, Moses hears God call his name. Comes like that bush, something ordinary, but alive with purpose. That's what God's call does. It takes the everyday, the normal, the usual, the mundane, and lights it with purpose and presence. Because really, that's all that Moses wants. It's why he came to the mountain in the first place. He was looking for something more. So God speaks to Moses and says that the groaning of slaves in Egypt, the prayers of God's people have reached the ears of their Creator. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Isn't that what Moses wanted? Purpose, calling, isn't this why he was wandering on the edge of the wilderness, going as far away from normalcy as he could, and here he's found it. His purpose, his meaning, his life, his very self in God's call. Here it is, the word of God to Moses, and you might think if this is what Moses is looking for, he would be excited, but he's not. He doubts. He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Sometimes this resistance to God comes from age, like prophets where Jeremiah and Samuel say, I'm too young, I can't do this. Or sometimes we feel too old. Sometimes it's just run-of-the-mill doubt. I'm not holy enough. I'm not good enough for this. In Moses' case, it's a basic lack of confidence about who he even is. I don't even know who I am, God. Who am I that I should do this thing? It's the basic goal of our lives, isn't it? To find that self, to know who we are. Moses doesn't see it. And it can be hard to find even when it's right in front of you. All of us have this call from God. It's the same call as Moses. It's what Jesus says to all of his disciples, follow me. And it looks different to each one of us, but includes some of the same elements. You might have to leave something of your previous life behind, possessions, relationships, even that sense of the ordinary that has become so comfortable. You might have to leave behind the picture of your life that you have for yourself, because God has a different picture in mind. The Apostle Paul says that our lives are hid with God in Christ, meaning that we only find ourselves, our purpose, our calling, our lives, by following the God who calls us. So God doesn't reassure Moses in a comfortable way. God doesn't say, oh, sure you can do this, Moses. You're smart enough. You're successful enough. You have everything that you need. You're ready. God doesn't say that. God says, do this because I am. I am God and I will be with you. Finding a calling, finding a life, means finding God first. None of the answers to your questions begin because I. They all begin because God. That's how the ordinary becomes alive. That's how your life comes alive. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Remember, as we receive our offering today, if you would like to give part of your offering to hurricane relief, you can make a note in the memo line of your check, or you can give online to this important relief work of Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, and there will be further opportunities to give if you do not do so today. So let us continue to respond to God's word by returning to God our tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
Please be seated. God invites us to this table where the ordinary becomes holy, alive with presence, alive with purpose, which is God's intention for each of our lives. So come all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and God will give you rest. God will give you purpose. God will give you God's own life. Let us pray together. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy God, you created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and called us to love and serve you. When we were unfaithful and turned from your ways, you did not forsake us. Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and sent prophets to call us back to your way. In the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. In him, your word, dwelling with you from all eternity, became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we beheld your glory, Emmanuel. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the celestial choirs and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Born in humility, he came to rule over all. Helpless as an infant, he showed the power of your love. Poor in the things of the world, he brought forth the wealth of your grace. Rejected by many, he welcomed all who sought him. In his dying and rising, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be for us the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. Called in Christ, fed by his grace, joined in his body, we remember those we have been called to serve. For the poor and the hungry, for the sick and the suffering, for the abused and oppressed, for the doubting and dispirited, for your creation which cries for you, for your church that expects your presence. Hear our prayer, Lord, and as this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Empower us by your Spirit to be joined in Christ's presence in the world, even as he is God with us. Give us courage to speak his truth, to seek his justice, and to love with his love. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. They shall be filled." We invite you to come forward and receive. Let us pray. God, for your word and your spirit, for the call that you have given each one of us, and for this holy meal, we give you thanks and ask your blessing. Strengthen us by your spirit to go from here to follow you into the world, to work as you have worked, to love as you have loved. These and all our prayers we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is with us as we go from here, and who teaches us to pray as he teaches all his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Go out from here with eyes open, looking for God. And don't just look in the challenges and the high places. Look in the everyday, in the ordinary, and see it come alive with God's presence. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.